I love movies. Gosh, I love movies. I love watching them, and I love making them.
Welcome back, everybody, to the House 6 Movie Podcast, our movie podcast about movies. We are doing a deep dive into Oscar, into the best pictures. Every month we review Academy Award winners for best pictures starting in 1929. So before we get into the actual pictures, some little details about the second Academy Awards ceremony. So the second Academy Awards took place at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. It was on April 3rd, 1930. So they're catching up. If you remember last time, it was for like 27, 28, and 29. So they're basically where we are when we do it for the year past. Awards were broadcasted on the local radio station. Still no TV yet.
Films and competitions. It was a school radio. Not many people know this.
Over the PA. films and competition were from August 1st, 1928 through July 31st, 1929. Award categories were reduced to 7, and it's the only time there were no official nominees. So if you remember, there was kind of an artsy category last time. They got rid of that.
One and done.
This is the only year no film won more than one award. In the running for Best Picture were Alibi, The Hollywood Review of 1929, In Old Arizona, The Patriot, not the Mel Gibson one.
He's old.
That was actually found footage. They just used it. And then In Old Arizona and The Patriot received 5 nominations, and that was a new record for the 1 year that they did it, the 2 years that they did it. But the most ever is 14. That's the current record, is 14 nominations. I can't remember who did that, but
the gun was it.
I think it's tied with a bunch of them. I'll have to look it up by doing this, but okay, so that's a little bit about the awards. Now we get to the movie, which is called The Broadway Melody. Nowadays it's called The Broadway Melody of 1929 because there was a couple sequels they made to it. After like every decade they try to make it. This was from MGM. So I'm sure we all remember MGM, the lion roaring at us.
Metro Goldwyn Mayer,
right? yeah. So they were
good
many good movies.
So this is the first musical to win, obviously. It's one of the first talkie musicals.
I hate that word. I hate when they refer to as talkies.
Talkies?
It's like baby time.
It's kind of cute. So there was actually Technicolor parts to this movie, but those are lost. No one knows where those are.
I had some.
Was it colored in yours?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they went back.
I guess Thomas found them.
Thomas found them.
He has them.
But the original ones were... it's one of those... I think it's the wedding part.
Yeah, well, the one I got was the very last part. But it was, like, terribly done, though. I was just like, oh. So...
They're kind of weird when you see them after they've already been done. So there were sequels, Broadway Melody of 1936, Broadway Melody of 1938, and Broadway Melody of 1940. None of those won awards. The cast and directors and writers were mostly from silent films. So there's like 3 main stars. Anita Page, which is probably the most well-known name out of the 3. She plays Queenie Mahoney. So she's like the tall blonde one. And then we have Bessie Love, who as Harriet Hank Mahoney. And then Charles King as Eddie Kearns. So before we get into this movie, how would you guys describe it in three words or less? Jared, go.
Whiny, screechy, dance.
Thomas, go.
Dance numbers unfinished.
Okay, Michael.
Yeah.
Is it horror?
There was a lot of creepy staircase scenes. I will say that.
There's a lot of creepy everything in this.
Yeah. Mine is Hank? Question mark.
Really doing that or less there, Joseph.
So let's get into the characters. And for the second straight movie that we've reviewed from Oscars past, I have hated the stinking protagonist. At least the male lead. I kind of hate all three, but I want to hear what you guys think. What do you guys think of the male protagonist is Eddie?
Oh, yeah, he's awful. Yeah. He's purely awful. So I told Joseph this like last week or something like that, but I rewatched this movie because I watched half of it while I was doing meal prep the week before when we were supposed to record this, and I realized I wasn't paying that much attention to it, and I was like, okay, I'll just rewatch it at work, because I was like, man, I really hate this main guy. Maybe I'm not gonna hate him on the second time around. Then on the second time around, I'm like, man, this guy really just sucks. He really, really sucks, and he just gets worse as it progresses on throughout the movie.
Yeah, he's getting worse somehow.
He's so freaking whiny. Like,
yeah,
he's just.
What I have found watching old movies is that women really loved guys that just whined and like,
yeah, what the heck?
Would not like buzz off. But they were just like, no, you love me. And they're like, no, I don't. And they're like, yes, you do, babe. And then it somehow works. And like, I don't understand.
I will add to that. Nobody in this movie is like particularly likable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. From like the performer,
the uncle.
I like
the uncle.
The uncle was like the one, like,
this poor little somewhat, stutter.
Yeah, somewhat like innocent, I guess. He just wanted to be an entertainer.
He's like, guys, you can just come and do these shows. You don't have to stay right here. It's a bad place with bad people.
It's a bad place. Like, why are you guys still here? But man, like, to the producers or whatever, the back of house people, to the financiers, even the crowd were like douchebags. Like, they're like trashing the place and everything else. I was just like, man, these people are terrible.
Agreed.
Yeah, he reminds me. My dad loves these Andy Hardy movies from way back. That guy bugs the heck out of me. And that guy reminds me of this guy because he's like this little nerdy guy that somehow gets like young Judy Garland to fall for him. And it's terrible. I hate it. It's just it's terrible. But my dad loves those movies, and I don't know why. So then we have like the two female leads in this movie who play sisters, who are trying to make it big in Broadway or Hollywood, whatever this is.
It's like called Thomas Broadway.
Said, yeah, like Thomas said, I don't find anyone particularly nice or good in this movie. These two, I don't really like either for different reasons, but what do you guys think of the two female leads? Anyone?
Go for it, Thomas.
Are the female leads? Is that what you're saying? I mean,
Hank and Queenie.
I will say out of like the two, I think Hank is the more, I don't want to say rounded, but like the better character,
has
I guess.
A better head on her shoulders than the other one.
Queenie is a moron.
Yeah,
she is so stupid. But I can't say that because I can't say too much because then Hank, like, then goes like at the very end of the movie goes and partners with the person that sabotaged like all that stuff. I was like, why do you trust her now?
I know.
And it's totally happy dandy to see her and her ex-boyfriend, now brother-in-law, off to their new home, and then, oh, I might come live with you. Don't worry.
Yeah, but say, like, then I might come
you
live
should
with
come
you.
Live
then,
with us.
And they're just like, don't worry. You can find happiness alone
and they,
with us. I'm like, huh?
They act like she's like 70 years old. Like, yeah. They look at her and her sister, I think she looks older. Like, I feel like Queenie looks older than Hank. And they're like, she's like, oh, she's so young and vibrant. Now I'm just over here. They don't want me anymore.
I'm an old maid. Yeah, I'm just like, you're like, very what, a year older?
I know. I'm like, it's very confusing.
I don't know. It's just like, nobody was just likable. Like, I'm just like, I don't care about these people. These people suck.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought these were the same people. I didn't know they were two different characters.
What?
There was the two main girls. I thought they were the same person for the longest time.
Yeah. And then you're like, there's two of them?
Wait. Yeah, I was like, wait, there's another person?
Hank. I think Hank is terrible because she's like, she's so jealous of her sister's like looks, and I guess you could call it talent. Because she doesn't like want her to succeed without her. And it's like, let her do her own thing. She's an adult, you know, let her go make her own mistakes. But they treat her like they're her parents. And then Queenie's dumb. And I know it's bad because like the guy that comes onto her, I know it's wrong for what he did, but she can't be blameless in this. I mean, she's over like there leading him on the whole time.
I did like that guy's name, though. Jacques. So,
yeah, so the characters, wow. And then I didn't like any of their singing of the main characters. Well,
okay, so this is my problem with... Okay, out of everybody in our friend group, I probably like old movies the most, right? Would that be a fair assessment?
You can have it. I don't care.
Okay. I did not like this movie. And one of the things that I hated about this movie is that all of their musical numbers was like the entrance to like the grand ballroom thing. And then they cut back to the back of the house crap. I'm just like, there's a musical number going on. Did we just forget that's happening?
It was just like they're like the chorus and then nope, we're done.
Yeah. That's and then we're ever. Out. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, cool. Cool entry, but what's the rest? But then we do stay with the rest through what's his face's, what's the main guy's name?
Eddie.
Then he like had that like terrible, terrible number where he's like, he like dances for like a few seconds and then he just holds her for the rest of the number. And I'm just like, wow, this is very unentertaining. It's like, this is the one that we focus on? Really? Okay. But also, what was with the freaking layout of this place? Those ceilings were massive. Like, no
what
door.
Ceilings do you?
Yeah, not particularly. That's a blast from the past joke for people who like that movie.
It's all 10 of you guys.
Hey, man, Brendan Fraser's coming back. But like even like the doorways to like just the regular like rooms or whatever was like they're like 20 feet tall. I was like, what is this place? This place is huge. But
yeah, Eddie's singing wasn't very good. He does that thing where he tries to hold a note and it's just not good. All the songs pretty much sound the same.
Yeah.
Except for they all sound the same, but like the only one that was kind of cool was the one with the guys playing guitar. I kind of enjoyed that one.
This novelty instrument called the guitar.
Yeah, there's like five guitar guys going at the same time. And the girls, they can't sing. Sadly, Thomas already mentioned kind of the arch enemy of Hank. That's always trying to sabotage her and stuff. Sadly, she sings better than like Hank or the other girl.
The blondie, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I can't remember
her name. Well, like they never really give her a name.
The
like
blonde.
The blonde. Yeah. But man,
Jared, any thoughts on the music or
anything? I might have blocked a lot out because I only remember like two songs.
That's about like, all there really.
I was
are
like,
this
is a musical, right? Because I don't. There was like no numbers happening. There was like no lead ups or anything. They're just random songs from like the show that they put on.
Also, the costumes were weird. Like
that huge bow tie thing.
The bow tie, and then the women that had the buildings on their head. I was just like, okay, that's a little odd.
I like the little cityscapes around their skirts. That was kind of cool.
The music, you know what bothered me was they used like Broadway twice in a song, in two songs, two different songs. That kind of bugged me. Because they had the main theme, which is something about Broadway. And then the guy's like love theme. Hey, I wrote this for you.
I don't know if music actually just sucked back then or like it was just the recording equipment, but it is like nails on a chalkboard for me. Like the voices, the music, it might just because of the recording stuff.
I think it's
and
the
if
recording.
I heard it live, it'd be better. But music and movies from this era just like really make me mad. And I hate movies with this
well,
amount of music.
At least we didn't have the carnival music again, right?
Oh, Jesus.
I was begging for the silent version I was talking about because it was just grating on my ears the whole time.
That would be weird if silent version of this. Like...
silent music of a musical.
Yeah. Now, granted, they really didn't use like a lot of music or like musical numbers in this. Like all the musical numbers were just like part of the.
Yeah, the thing they're playing, the review they're putting on.
Yeah, just like, yeah, just part of their job. I'm just like, oh. Hmm.
That's what surprised me when I first watched this was like, I was expecting the typical music where the music kind of outnumbers the actual scenes.
Yeah.
And this totally was not that. It was like, they were trying to do a plot. It's not a great plot.
They tried like 10 plots. There were so many conflicts in this movie and none of them were worthwhile.
Everybody had something against like somebody else, and
the conductor's
none of it
trying to drown out Eddie. The Hank's trying to get the girl. The girl's trying to get him. He wants to get with her. Then they went over. Then the two sisters are after the other two sisters. It's just an absolute hodgepodge of angry people.
That it's like was actually days of our one lives. One of my favorite parts is when the conductor's like talking trash to Eddie.
It's like, have you ever written music? You have no idea what you're talking about. It's all pissed.
That's probably like the only entertaining part of the whole movie.
It was funny.
So let's get kind of into the plot. You guys are gonna have to remind me, Jared. Jared, since I know you just watched this.
I don't remember much of it. Just like general. Well, just like the general like conflict is what we had.
I was trying to purge it from my mind, so I'll try to remember.
Okay, so the beginning is we go and they are practicing all their parts. Eddie's like, hey, I got a new song. Listen to my new song.
No,
can you
no,
please
Eddie.
Shut up, everyone, so I can like hog this spotlight?
You got like that prison warden looking dude just crossed arms sitting over him. I was like, what is this guy doing?
Eddie's such a glory hog in this movie. I guess he's the main star, but he also
he has like, a dream, Joseph, that he's trying to realize.
Tries to direct it at the same time. I don't know.
He has no charisma whatsoever.
He's
like,
terrible.
At all.
We'll get into his terribleness pretty soon because he's like, hey, I got these two new girls that I know that I want to get into this movie. Somehow they've known each other for a long time because him and Hank are pretty much like a couple. So then we go to the apartment where the girls are there crying about how they're not famous. and we meet the stuttering uncle, which you guys like. I didn't care for him, but
it's not that we like him. He's just the least like unpleasant
best of the worst
in this movie. Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it. I don't remember why, but Eddie comes in. Him and Hank are a thing, but he sees Queenie. Where was she? I don't know.
Where had she been whenever she wasn't? Because she's been with Hank forever, seemingly.
Yeah.
But because she's like watching over her mother handing her. But then Hank and Eddie are like, oh, yeah, we're in love. We're going to get married. Da, da, da. And he's like, he just stops me. He's like,
I know.
When did you get so tall? He's like, what the heck is going
on?
It just immediately turns horror, like I said.
So, and then he like makes out with both of them as soon as he comes into the room. What is going on with this guy? So he gets them to come down to the studio so they can rehearse in front of the, I guess it's the producer. And they try to sing a song.
They try.
But Blondie put a brick in the piano or something?
Yeah, so she puts a book or something in there so the piano's not going. And stupid Hank's like, no, just keep going. Just keep playing, even though it sounds awful. And he's like, "Here, let me get in there and
look at
the
piano."
And she's like, "No, just keep going." So the director or the producer's not impressed at all by them. So they kind of go on and get the other girls, and then Queenie's like crying to the producer. She's like, "Please let us let us be in the show. And he's like, well, you're kind of hot, I guess. So I guess I'll let you guys in it. Somehow they get like a starring part or something.
Yeah, not like a chorus part or like the chorus line. They're like front and center.
They get a, like their own act. So we see some of the directing that's going on when they're getting ready, because they start with the dress rehearsal, I think. So like Thomas said, Eddie does his thing. He thinks he's all cool.
He's not.
And the producer hates the two sisters' part in this, so he's like, get rid of them. Just put the chorus girls in there.
I like how Eddie like pretends to them like he's like the head honcho running the show, like he's directing and everything. And then he goes up and it's just immediate like, sir, yes, sir. And they're like, they kind of look at her like, what? I thought you were the sir around here. He's like, yeah, just a little.
They have like this little posse of like producers. Yeah. And one of them was like super drunk. You remember that guy?
Yeah. Like the one that got like super drunk in the office. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what I don't get is why we focus so much on like the gaggle of producers here. Like,
and I guess that's how it is.
They really don't do much either. They just kind of like complain and like, oh, they're not so pretty, they're not so great. That's all they do the whole movie.
One of them's the boss and is like bossy, and then one of them's drunk the whole time and it's like slurring and just being drunk.
They're a metaphor for the audience that is watching this movie, you guys.
And then we have the other guy who's like, hey, I want Queenie to be my girl, and
Shock.
And they come to this, or he comes to this realization when they're doing the show, and then one of the girls like passes out on the boat or something. She like faints because she's got this scene on a boat where she's like standing in front of the boat. So they're like, hey, Queenie, get up there because you're tall, I guess. So they're all like, wow, she's so beautiful, even though she just looks
just like, standing normal. There and doing nothing.
Look like they threw an actor up there for no reason. There's a Roman actor guy he gets a little bits in there with Eddie, I think. And he gets like a big song for some reason. They focus on this guy's song. Queenie kind of gets discovered from this performance, just her standing there. The producer's like, hey, man, I'm going to make this my girl. And she's like, go on a date with me. And she's like, okay. And she's like, I'm going out with that guy. And Hank is like, no, don't do it. Don't you go out with other people. You stay shut up in your room. And Hank is just super annoying at these parts. So what happens next? She kind of becomes a big star. Hank is not a star. The producer's like buying her things, but you know what he wants. He wants something. She's not giving it to him. So Hank and Eddie, and we haven't even mentioned Eddie. The stupid Eddie is just like constantly, he's in love with Queenie, even though he's with Hank. The uncle tells Hank to lock that down.
Put a ring on that.
Yeah, because she's not made for Hollywood, I guess, so she might as well just get married and end it all. But
end it all.
But Eddie's super in love with Queenie, like writes her a song, he's singing, they're making out right in front of Eddie or Hank. But she doesn't figure it out. I can't remember why she figures out.
Who was that one girl that she like basically almost like tosses over like the stairwell? You remember that?
Mm-mm.
No, I don't remember that. Who is it, Hank?
No, I think it was Hank. Sorry, for some reason I'm thinking of Eddie. But she's like, oh, don't you ever do that for me again. I was just like, what's going on? I am so lost.
Yeah, I'm pretty much running out of steam on this plot of what's happening next. So
over to the plot.
Yeah, this is like whenever I'm trying to remember exactly what happens next, because this is starting to the point where, what?
Can we pause real fast and talk about Jock?
Yeah.
As a lover? Because he calls, what's her name? Little fellow. Technique. So I thought he was talking to Eddie the whole time.
Oh. Well, he is French, so there you go.
Because at one point he's like, I'm talking to you, little fellow. And I was like, oh, they're going to get into a fight and they're going to fist the cuffs. But it was her. And I was like, wait, what? And that was just his pet name for her. And I was very confused. And I don't know why he did that.
He's also like a grade A creep. Like the, yeah. Just absolutely. I don't know if that was the intention. I mean, I guess it kind of is of the movie, but also Eddie was kind of, I put off the same vibes of creepiness with women. Yeah. The same. It's just like that weird, like all Hollywood dudes, stereotype that we have now for how men treat women. It's just like, this is so uncomfortable, strange, and creepy. I don't like any of it.
It seems like worse, like, than what we have now.
It was really bad in this movie. I was so uncomfortable anytime Jacques was on there and just like, you are a, you go to prison, please. Just go.
In the 20s and 30s, they just grab women and it's yeah, like, whoa, calm down.
You saying that remind me of whenever, I can't remember which scene it was, but it's just like that typical thing that you see all the time. And I think it's at the end, maybe. But whenever they're talking, and I don't know why they do this in the old movies. I don't know if they're trying to like show the effects or show the emotion with it, but like mid-conversation so many times in older movies, they're just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and then they hug so much, and they back off. Oh, and they hug. Like, there's like a scene in this movie where they hug four times in one conversation. I'm like, who does this? Like, imagine we say, hey, what's up, Thomas? How you doing? Hug. Hey, what'd you do today? Oh, yeah, hold on, hug. And
Michael, like, I would not say no to that.
Probably like five or six times they do it in this movie. And I was like, what is with these old movies? Did people do that back then? I have no idea.
Hug a lot.
I need, I need to know.
I don't know, but I need four hugs in the conversation right now.
Another thing they used to do in old movies, like men directed at women, they would just grab them and hug them in like a, it's like, shh, stop talking, because they would, yeah, they would like the women would be like saying something, they're like, no, shh.
Yeah, like physical repression is like, yeah, their way of like saying like, I love you, now shut up.
Oh, it's so bad, man. Like, and then they're constantly crying for the guy who treats them terribly,
right?
And I
well, then they get into the weird whole dynamic where Queenie doesn't want to be with Jacques, but she doesn't want to like give in to temptation with Eddie, so she's sticking with Jacques so she doesn't hurt, yeah, Hank's feelings. And it's like, this is the weirdest. It's like, just say no to him and don't go out with Eddie. There's your fix. Yeah. You don't have to go with the creepy grandpa.
And then in the worst way possible, like you said.
I know.
They get together. Why are they together?
And Hank isn't upset. She's like upset, really upset, whenever she realizes that Eddie was like into Queenie and not her anymore. Yeah. He didn't say anything. And then after that, she's like, well, I'm going to go tour the country, guys. See you later.
Yeah, on my 30-week tour with my new friend, the one who tried to like sabotage everything for me.
I know we kind of gave up on the plot, but there is a point where Jacques shoots somebody. Point blank too. He's just like, shh, and he's like, oh, and he literally acts like that. He's like, oh my gosh. Does he? Is there a whole like plot where he's controlling part of the city, and the guy's like confronts him, and he's like, that's my turf, you SOB, and so he shoots him.
Like, don't come in. Like, what was it? Like, don't come into this like theater or something again. Yeah. I don't remember.
Anyway,
I don't remember that at all.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing.
That was plot A, you fool.
That's the thing, is that it never goes any further than that confrontation, and then we're like, oh, okay,
okay.
Anyway, there's like a cop or like a detective on the case, and he's the creepiest man in this movie.
Is that what he was?
Yeah.
I thought he was like some rival, like gangster or something.
He even talked creepy. He's like, so did you see what happened?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no. And so he's investigating the whole time, and he's hitting on women at the same time. I'm like, dude, you're on the job.
Oh, I do remember that.
Because he's like, oh, because Jacques was like, hey, you want one of those women out there? And he's like, that would be nice. And so they go out there. And he's like, hey, blonde chick, get down here and love this dude. And she's like, no. And he's like, that's fine. I'll come back later.
Oh, man, this movie.
He was so creepy.
The whole movie's a creep fest, man.
We have
movie,
this part,
the movie was creepy. Like,
we have this part where Hank is going to throw Queenie a birthday party. But Queenie is too good for Hank now. So she goes to the birthday party of Jock. That's the guitar part, where he's like, look at these, I got five guitars, cool.
That's what I would do with money. Like, if I had, like, look at this, I bought four guitarists.
Go.
Go.
They are mine now.
Go forth and play.
Yeah. That's all for the plot, man. That's all I can remember. The end is terrible.
It's a disaster.
Well, then she's like, don't worry. I'll come back to Broadway. Maybe.
And how did whenever because it was like this two scenes before Eddie tells her he wrote the song about how she's for him, whatever. Queenie. And then they're at that place where Jacques throwing the birthday party for her. And those guitarists that he bought apparently know that song and are playing it. And she's like, I don't like this song. She does like skip it. Yeah. It's like, how did I was so confused. Like, how did they know this song? Wasn't it just written
it
for
went
her?
Viral.
It was on SoundCloud and they were like, this is good too. Yeah, put this one up.
Oh God, he's a SoundCloud flapper. Oh no.
And then he's like, oh, well, guitarist, play something else. And I was like, I wonder what it's going to be. It's literally the only other song in the movie is Broadway musical. I was like,
there was one only songs in the movie where one of the girls, well, I guess they're siblings, but they're like, oh, she got bad news about her mother. And Eddie goes up to her and she's like, it's okay. We're all family here. We're here for you. And Jock like pushes him out of the way. And he's like, I'll do anything for you. It is just so weird. And there's one part where Jock is coming on to her and he's like, I love you, baby. I'd murder for you. It's like, no, don't do that.
There's a part where it gets kind of dramatic, I guess you would say.
No.
McQueenie's kind of like missing. And so she's like, they're desperate to find her. And I guess this is where Hank kind of figures out Eddie's feelings for her. Because he's like, oh, we got to find her, man. We got to do whatever we can for her.
Oh, man, we got to find her, baby.
And Hank's just like bawling because she knows she's lost him.
Oh, the where she like starts laughing and crying and whatever.
Yeah.
That's like the most famous scene from this movie, I think, is what I read. But I'm just like, okay.
Like, two of the songs were actually hits. The two main ones, Broadway Melody and You Were Meant for Me. And they didn't have like the top 10 countdowns back then, so I think Broadway Melody would have been a number one if they counted that kind of stuff back then.
Well, and those two, we can go into it later, but trivia crap.
So. Okay. And then You Were Meant for Me. This is kind of where the song kind of originated.
Yep.
This is the first time they showed terrible, it off.
Terrible rendition of it, though.
But those guitars still play it to this day. Okay, so summing up this movie. So for our last one, Wings, which we did, so you can check that out. I didn't hate that movie. I kind of enjoyed it, just watching it for what it was. And I definitely would recommend it for, like, cinephiles who like want to go back into cinema history. But this movie, man, this movie's bad, and it's and I would not recommend it for like anyone other than people who are doing what we're doing, is going through all the Oscar winners, because this one is just, it's, the plot is terrible, the characters are terrible, the songs are terrible. I can't think of anything good to say about it. Can you guys think of any?
Some of the sets were kind of interesting, and can I go into some of the trivia now?
Yeah, go ahead.
So MGM, like, we're going to get to, well, we're not going to get to it because it didn't win Best Picture, but Singing in the Rain, is part of MGM's like catalog. Well, this was part of it too. And Singing in the Rain was basically them using every single song that they owned and wrote a movie around it. And You Were Meant for Me and Broadway Melody are both in Singing in the Rain, but used to way better effects, performed way better. And honestly, those, I love those two songs, but these two were terrible. But the background for a lot of this, this movie was actually used in the dream sequences in Singing in the Rain, like the striped background and stuff like that. That's in Singing in the Rain. You can actually see like almost the exact same background. But man, this movie was just, I think Joe's right. Like, cinematically, this movie is just kind of garbage, really. Like, the cinematography is not very good. The acting is not good. The actual musicals are kind of subpar, and just, this was not an enjoyable movie, like, at all. And the thing is, like, with Wings, that was kind of a cool movie, like, really.
Yeah.
Like as, like, a cinema, like, buff like we are, like, there's some pretty cool, like, shots that they were able to get. This was just like, okay, well, they're walking out onto the stage again, and then we cut away to the back. Okay, well, that was fun, I guess. And then even, like, the dance and musical things was just, like, one steady camera, and they kind of moved a little bit here and a little bit there. And we're back in the middle, and we're just going to stay there for the rest of the sequence. Okay, cool. It was just, nothing about this stood out. Nothing was memorable. Like, even we're, like, we just watched this movie, like, a day and a half ago. Jared just watched this today. And we could barely remember this plot. Like, it is really trying to just evacuate out of our brain. Like, we just don't want to hold on to it.
And I totally forgot about that detective.
I know, I do too. But yeah, this movie is just, it's not fun, like, at all. Like, not even a so good it's bad type thing, because some of those, like, older, like, silent films are kind of bad, but they're a lot of fun to watch. This one was not fun to watch. This was just, and it was too freaking long. Good Lord. It was almost 2 hours long. It did not need to be that long. Like, no. So anyway, there you go.
My last thoughts were, Wings entertained me. There's scenes in it I was like, oh, that's cool. There's blood in it, and I was actually like, kind of shocked. I was like, wow, that's pretty bloody. And then, like, the whole plot, like, was okay. Like, he shot down his homie, and that was pretty tragic. This was torture, dude. This is what I was fearing from watching these old movies, because this is exactly what I mean when I hate old black and white movies. The terrible music, the whiny characters, just awful. I didn't enjoy this. Thomas just mentioned the time. I was like, oh, it's only like an hour and 44 minutes. It's not too bad. Wings was, like, I think longer.
Over two hours, yeah.
This felt like 3 hours. I was like, please end. This is terrible. So I do not recommend this. That must have been a bad year for movies if this one, like, I want some other nominees. But yeah, this was a terrible time.
Michael, your closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, agreed. Like you guys are saying, Wings were at least interesting. Like, the shots of the actual effects they had with blowing stuff up back then on film was very, very impressive and interesting. And the characters were quirky, but interesting, not creepy and weird. This movie was just an unpleasant watch. It was not fun to watch. The character, like I said, that Jacques dude and even Eddie, man, they creeped me out from the beginning. I was very uncomfortable watching the movie. So yeah, if we're going to rank these, I'd be surprised if there's one that goes lower than this one.
Yeah.
Throughout these movies. Surprised. This is probably the bottom of the barrel.
I don't know. There are a few, though. Like,
we'll get
to those. Don't
this
worry.
This is bad, comments.
I think every decade we'll probably give our, like, top 10 list or whatever.
There you go.
Just to rank them. But I guess, like, the Thomas was saying, the best thing you could say about this is, like, the movie that built musicals, Hollywood musicals. Because if you compare this to, like, Singing in the Rain, it's just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Because this is like a drama fit into, like, squeezed tightly into a musical.
What if you get, okay, guys, what if you compare this to, like, Cats?
Cat?
No, I would never watch Cats again.
Yeah, I would rather watch this again.
Man,
I cannot believe that movie has stained us so badly.
That movie was really bad.
And apparently there is a butthole edition.
Yeah, I'd rather watch
it's
that.
It's out there.
Okay, so yeah. If you want to follow us, do that on Instagram.com/How6MoviePodcast. Find us at twitter.com/Hell6MoviePod. Check out our YouTube channel. That's good stuff. Where you can find old Hell6 podcasts on there. We also did the original one for Wings is on there. And then we got some cool stuff. We got gaming. We're all in the middle of Star Wars, so expect to see Star Wars pretty soon.
For one of us, Jared.
And then we do more recent pop culture stuff. We did The Mandalorian, so check that out. And we did the Mario movie, so check that out. Then we got some other fun stuff, trivia time, and that's weird stuff, which we will be recording later, so check that one out too. And then Jared, he runs the anime podcast, That's Good Anime, and it looks like they just put one up, so you can check that one up. What's that one about, Jared?
Paranoia Agent.
Paranoia Agent, okay.
And it'll be coming out Friday. So.
It's coming out Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, so subscribe and follow us so you can get our next one. And the next time, we will be reviewing All Quiet on the Western Front. Not the Netflix movie that just came out last year, but the original one.
The better one.
1930. Oh. Oh, says you, Thomas.
No, says everybody.
So you'll have to hear our thoughts on
that. I'm sorry. Does the old one have dubstep in it? No, it doesn't.
Should it, though?
No.
We might have to do a little comparing on those ones.
just wait. There's like a YouTube edit of like what Michael had with the carnival music for Wings.
That's
a dubstep.
Dubstep version of that.
All right, so see you guys next time. Jared, take us out.
That's good stuff.
Do you want to do it in song?
No, I don't.
No. Honestly, that was about the song that we got from this movie.